going to preach here today on verse 21. It says, this day is the Scripture fulfilled. But we'll get down to there. We'll start here in Luke chapter number 4 and look in verse number 14. We're going to see here Jesus preaching here at Nazareth. Okay, the first here message that He preaches here today. In Luke chapter 4, verse number 14, let's begin here. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of Him through all the region round about. And He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me, because He hath anointed Me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent Me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And He closed the book, and He gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began to say unto them, "This day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ears." I'm going to preach there out of 21. This day is the Scripture fulfilled. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do love You, and I do come to You now in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that You fill me with Your Spirit here this morning. I pray, Lord, that You use me. I pray You give me Your boldness, Your clarity of thought, Your wisdom, Your guidance, Your direction, Lord. And Lord, just You take over here this morning and do what You want to do, Lord. I pray You speak to hearts. I pray You convict us of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. I pray You convict the sinner to repent and turn to You and trust You for their salvation here today, Lord. And we'll give You the glory for what You do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Jesus had just returned from the wilderness where He was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights by the devil. And as was His custom, He went to the synagogue in Nazareth, His own hometown. You see, He was faithful to worship God. He was faithful to the house of God. This synagogue here was the same one that Jesus had attended ever since He was a child. Everyone, no doubt, would have known Him there, known Him as Joseph's son, or even as the carpenter's boy. But on this day, on this Sabbath day, something was different. Jesus wasn't there to listen. Jesus was there to speak. He wasn't there just to hear the reading of the Scriptures. He was the fulfillment of the Scriptures. And He's here today to reveal Himself. You get that? He is there to reveal Himself as the long-awaited Messiah that was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah. Jesus began reading from Isaiah chapter 61, a scripture that was written 700 years before Jesus was even born. And Jesus is declaring it fulfilled in Him this very day. Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2 says this. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon Me, because the Lord hath anointed Me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent Me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Verse 2 says, "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And when Jesus was finished reading that, He closed the book and He sat down. He sat down. Why? Because that prophecy was no longer just written. The prophecy was fulfilled in Jesus that very day, right before their eyes. Now, our text here in Luke chapter number 4 is the first recorded message of Jesus Christ. Now, as we look at this message here that Jesus preached, what can we learn from this message? Well, let me give you some truth here about Jesus' first message here. Number one, I want you to see that it's all about Jesus Christ. He is God. He is God. It's all about Jesus. It's not about the people. It's not about the pastor. It's not about the music. It's not even about the programs or the social clubs. You see, everything is all about Jesus. He needs to be the center of everything in the church, everything in your life. Everything needs to revolve around Jesus Christ. Everything we do is for Him. You need to understand that. Our life is for Him. We run a bus for Him. We teach Sunday school for Jesus Christ. We are faithful to church. Why? For Jesus Christ. We are on time to church. Why? Because Jesus Christ is it. He is all things. If you're not doing it for Jesus Christ, you're doing it for the wrong reason. Okay? You don't do it for a person. You don't do it for me. You do everything for Jesus Christ. You know what? It's not even about the coffee and the donuts. Okay? Now, we don't do coffee and donuts here, but there's many places that do. It's not about that. It's all about Jesus Christ. You say, why is that? Because He's God. Because He's God and He is the living Word. In John chapter 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You see, Jesus Christ is the Word. That means that Jesus Christ is the very God. He existed from the beginning. He was with God. He is God. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created. He created all things, even you and I. All things were created by Him, proving He is the Creator. Right now, there's many of false cults out there that say Jesus Christ is just a created being. But that's not right. That's not true. Jesus Christ is the Creator of all things. 1 John 5:7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven. Three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Jesus Christ is it. He is God. He is God manifested in the flesh. Well, how do I know Jesus he took on flesh? Well, how do I know that? Well, John 1:14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You say, well, when did that happen? In the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. He left heaven. He came. He took on the flesh of mankind for you and for me. Jesus Christ is 100% God. He is 100% man. You say, well, how is that possible, preacher? How can that be possible? He's 100% God and He's 100% man. How is that even possible? Here's why. Because He's God. Because He is God, that's how it's possible. And you see, Jesus Christ left the Father. He came and dwelt among us. He left heaven and dwelt among us sinners here on this world. Now that word dwelt, it carries the meaning of tabernacled. And we know that in the Old Testament, God was in the tabernacle in the Old Testament. But now in the New Testament, we know that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He took on flesh and He tabernacled among us on this world. In Philippians chapter 2 and verses 7 and 8, the Bible says, but made Him of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, get this, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, Jesus Christ, who is God, He humbled Himself to come down here, to leave heaven, to be born in a manger. Right? The Jews thought that their Messiah would one day come, but He would sit on the throne and He would be a wealthy man and He would free the Jews from the Roman persecution and all that was going on. But Jesus Christ came in a lowly manger. And He came for one reason, to die on the cross of Calvary. You know, see, we see all throughout the Old Testament the prophecies of His birth. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 gives us the very first prophecy that the Messiah is coming. And you go through the book and they're there. Prophecies such as Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call His name Emmanuel. You see, there's your sign. Right? You stiff-necked people, you need a sign. You want a sign. Here's your sign. He will be born of a virgin. Oh, that's not good enough. Well, let me tell you exactly where He'll be born. Micah 5:2 says He will be born in Bethlehem. And you go to the New Testament and you see those prophecies fulfilled throughout Matthew chapter 1, verses like 23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. You see, Jesus fulfilled every single one of those Old Testament prophecies by being born of a virgin. You understand, nobody has ever been born of a virgin before that. Nobody has ever been born of a virgin since that. And nobody will ever be born again of a virgin. The Messiah has come. Today, the Scriptures are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And if you would, here's an interesting account. Turn over to Mark chapter number 4. Now, we'll be back here in Luke, but hold your place there. But turn over to Mark chapter number 4. I'm going to read three verses here, starting in verse 39. But here you got the disciples and Jesus are out on a boat, and a storm comes, and Jesus is sleeping when this storm comes, and the disciples are very much afraid. They're fearful for their lives. They have the very Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who created the storms and He created the waves and created everything in their boat. And you notice He's sleeping just peacefully. But here in verse 39, He says, "And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them," get this now, "why are you so fearful?" Why are we fearful? Why are we fearful of all these storms and these little things in life? He says, "How is it that you have no faith?" Hey, you got the very Son of God with you in your boat, and you have no faith. You have no faith. But I want you to see this in verse 41. He says, "And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another," get this here, "what manner of man is this?" They said, "What manner of man is this? How can this man do this? How can he calm the storms?" He says, "That even the wind and the sea obey him." What manner of man is this? You see, it's all about Jesus. He is God. He is God manifested in the flesh. In Psalm 107, verse 29, the Bible says, "He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still." You see, Jesus left heaven. He was made in the likeness of men, yet He had no sin. The Bible says you and I, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one, but not Jesus. Hebrews 4:15 says, "But was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin." Why is that? Because Jesus is God. Jesus is God. You see, that is why He can have no sin. He is the perfect sacrifice for you and I. I mean, what better plan? What better way to save all of mankind from their sin than the sin God manifested in the flesh here? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For He hath made unto be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." You see, our righteousness doesn't get us to heaven. You know, I told you before, I was 38 when I got saved, and I thought I was a good person. Even though I was a very sinful man, I thought all my good works would outweigh all my bad works. When I stood before God one day, and all those good things that I did, and I'd be, yeah. And then He'd put a couple bad things, but the scale would always tip in my favor, and I'd get to go to heaven. But you see, all my righteousness is as filthy rags. Not going to get me there. Not going to happen. I need His righteousness. That's why He died on that cross for me. You see, when we read this Bible, we're not reading about a prophet. We're not reading about a preacher. We're not reading about a program. You see, we're reading about Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ. He is the Anointed One. He is the bread of life in John chapter 6. He is the living water in John chapter 4. He is the door to the Father in John chapter 10. He is the Lamb of God in John chapter 1. And you know what else? He's the fulfillment of this prophecy. He is the Savior of the world, and He heals the broken hearts, and He gives deliverance to the captives, and He gives the blind sight. You see, when you read this Bible, we're not reading about religion. It's not about religion. We're reading about the Redeemer. Jesus Christ. You come to Gilead Baptist Church. We're not giving you religion. We're giving you Jesus Christ because it's all about Him. He is God. You see, it's all about Him, and there is no other way for you to get to heaven. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And you say, oh, I don't know about that, preacher. I think I can do this, and I think the church will get me to heaven, and I think I can do enough, and I've been baptized, and that will get me to heaven. But the Bible says no. Jesus says this in John 14:6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So you see, Jesus is either the only way or He's no way at all. He's no way at all. But the Bible says that Jesus is God and He is the only way. And the Bible is true, every single word of it. And if you do not come to Jesus Christ for salvation, friend, you will not go to heaven. That is what the Word of God teaches us here in His Word. You see, religion will leave you lost and dead in your sins and on your way to hell. But Jesus will give you everlasting life. He'll give you forgiveness of sins. And once you get everlasting life, He does not take it away. John 6:37 says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Hey, He's not going to throw you away. Hey, do you want to serve a God that's going to throw you out? That you got to keep a checklist? No, God is not going to throw you out. Once you get saved, you have eternal life. Eternal life means eternal life. Everlasting life means everlasting life. Jesus said this in John 5:39. He said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Jesus is it. Friend, what are you trusting in to get you to heaven is the question today. What are you trusting in? Each one of you are trusting in something. You say, I don't know, I'm just going to be a good person and I'm going to get to heaven. No, it's not going to work. Search the Scriptures. Jesus is it. Why? Because He is God. Let me give you number two that we see. We're going to see here that not only is Jesus, it's all about Jesus, but I want you to see it's all about preaching the gospel. It's all about preaching the gospel. Here, if you could flip back over to Luke chapter 4 and look there in verse number 8, the beginning part of our Luke 4:18, the beginning part of verse 4:18. Bible says here in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel. In verse 19, He says, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You see, Jesus Christ went back to His hometown. He went back to Nazareth where He grew up. And as was His custom always, He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And He began to read from Isaiah 61. Hey, the day had finally come. Jesus was anointed to preach the gospel. That term, acceptable year, it means the age or day of salvation. The day of salvation has come. The day of salvation is here. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You see, Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. You see, it's all about the gospel. It's all about preaching the gospel. The gospel is laid out for us in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verses 3 and 4. He says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You see, that's the only way you get to heaven. That's the way of salvation, is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus was anointed to preach the gospel. He wasn't anointed to preach entertainment. You see, there's churches all over the place in Macon, Georgia, that all they want to do is entertain. They turn the lights off. Well, first of all, it's already black in there. Jesus is the light. He's not black, but it's black in there. They turn the lights down and make it darker. They roll the smoke and they get the drums going, right? And all that worldly... there's a spirit there, but it's not the Holy Spirit, friend. It is not the Holy Spirit of God. You see, Jesus was anointed to preach the gospel. It's not about entertaining. We are here to preach the gospel. He wasn't anointed to debate. It's not about a debate. It's all about God's Word. Preaching is God's chosen method. That's it. Not entertainment, nothing else. It's preaching. He says in 1 Corinthians 1:21, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You see, we must never criticize preaching. We must never downgrade preaching. We must never apologize for preaching. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, in verse number 2, he says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. You see, that's what the Word of God does. It convicts the heart of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Every pulpit needs to preach the gospel. Hey, every Christian needs to preach the gospel. Paul said it like this in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You see, Jesus is it. He is God. He was anointed to preach the gospel. He left that up to us today to preach the gospel. Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. It's there. He bore the sin of mankind. He died as a substitutionary death, meaning He died in your place. He died in my place on that cross of Calvary. He took all of your sin and my sin, all those bad thoughts, all those bad things that we did, all of our sin upon us on that cross of Calvary that day. And God the Father turned His back on us. And Jesus said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? Why? Because your sin was put upon Him. But God commendeth, means prove. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, it's all about Jesus. He is God. It's all about preaching the gospel. Hey, look, Jesus could have died a million ways. There was a million, you could die a million ways, I'm sure. But there was only one way that He had to die. He had to die by shedding His blood. The blood had to be shed. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood is no remission. He had to shed His blood. Revelation 1 verse 5 says, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. But you know what's great about the gospel message is He didn't stay dead. Hey, we don't serve a dead prophet like Muhammad or somebody like that. We serve a risen Savior. Jesus Christ is alive. He rose from the dead the third day. Matthew 28:6 says, He is not here, for He is risen, as He says. Psalm 16:10 says, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. You see, you want to get saved. You want to go to heaven. You got to believe He rose from the dead. You say, preacher, I believe Jesus was a good man. I believe He was a good teacher. He's a great rabbi. He was a good prophet. But now, as far as Jesus raising from the dead, I don't quite believe that. Well, then listen, you're not ready to be saved. You see, the Bible says in Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, you got to believe Jesus is alive. You got to believe Jesus rose from the dead. And if He rose from the dead, He surely can raise us from the dead. He surely can forgive us of our sins. He prophesied, He promised, He told us, hey, He was going to die and He'll be risen from the dead the third day. He told us over and over and over again. And that became a reality. You see, it's all about the gospel. Preaching the gospel. Number three, if you could turn back over to Luke chapter number 4 in verse number 18, we'll see here it's all about winning the lost. All about winning the lost. Here in that second part of Luke 4:18, it says, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Proverbs 11:30 says, he that winneth souls is wise. You see, there's no other high calling, no more urgent task than winning the lost to Jesus Christ. The heartbeat of God is for the lost. The mission of the church is evangelism. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. The burden of every believer should be to rescue sinners from eternal damnation. Point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a world that is lost, a world that is blind, a world that is deceived. I mean, the devil has deceived this world so wicked and so bad, and so many people are headed to hell. So many people are lost today. More people lost today than ever before. What are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? God gave us the message. The message doesn't change. It is the same message. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You see, we are responsible for our generation. We're not responsible for those in the 1800s. We're responsible to reach the people here today in our local area and all around the world. You say, how do we reach those around the world? Well, we support many missionaries, don't we? Right, we can't go over to those places, but we support missionaries in those places. But what we can do, Gilead Baptist Church, is go out into Macon and preach the gospel and see souls saved. Look, you don't have to go very far. There are captives everywhere. There are people lost and dying all around us. You say, who are the captives? The drunks, the druggies, right? Those people need to be saved. But what about the nice little old lady that lives next door? She needs to be saved the same way. What about those bus kids that come in? Hey, have you spent some time with those bus kids? Have you talked with those bus kids? Have you presented them a gospel message, a gospel plan of salvation? Hey, they need to be saved. Hey, if they get the Word of God here, you know what? I guarantee they get the Word of God here and they go home and they say those verses to their parents. They say those verses to those parents and it gets them going. It gets them thinking, right? But hey, if we can win the lost for Jesus Christ, that's what we're to do. He says, set at liberty them that are bruised. If you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. So when I first got saved, 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verses 9 through 11, were some of my favorite verses at the time. Some meaningful verses here. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9, the Bible says here, he says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You see, as I mentioned earlier, all of our righteousness isn't getting us to heaven. It's only through Jesus Christ. Know ye not that the unrighteous, you need His righteousness to get to heaven. And he says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, that is the sissy men, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, that would be the homos, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, so that was me, right? Nor revilers, nor extortioners, and get this here, shall inherit the kingdom of God. You get that? This isn't saying that people who commit these sins, that these sins are sending you to hell. No, these are sins that lost people do. And being lost is what sends you to hell. You need Jesus Christ. But you know what? I would read these verses and then I would get so excited about verse 11 because I would see it and it would say, and such were some of you. Yes, such were some of me. That was me. That was me. I was lost and on my way to hell. And such were some of you. Get this, but you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You see, I've been washed. I've been sanctified. I've been set free. I've been justified. I've been made just as if I'd never sinned. Jesus did that. Not my righteousness. The only way I'm getting to heaven and the only reason I'm going to heaven is because I have His righteousness. I have His righteousness to take me to heaven. You see, God said in Matthew 28:19, He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You see, that's what we're to do. Go out, win the lost. See them get baptized. Amen. See them get baptized. See them live for Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says that the lost are condemned. In John 3:18, the Bible says, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. The lost are without hope. Ephesians 2:12 says, having no hope and without God in the world. You see, the lost are spiritually dead. Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You see, Jesus cared for the lost. If you read the Bible, you see Jesus cared for the lost. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he, in John chapter 4, he goes out of his way into Samaria. In verse 4, he says, and he must needs go through Samaria to meet the woman at the well, because he knew there was somebody there who was ready to be saved. He went out of his way to reach the lost, to reach the sinner, to reach the publican. Right? He saw them not as problems, but as souls. People who needed the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, Jesus wept over those souls. In Luke 19:41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Hey, all I'm saying is, it's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about preaching the gospel. It's all about winning the lost. And one last thing here, it's all about being faithful until the end. It's all about you and I being faithful until the end. If you turn back to Luke chapter 4, and look there at verse 16. Luke chapter 4, in verse number 16. Says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. Even before the miracles happened, Jesus Christ was faithful. He was faithful to attend God's house. He was faithful to read the Word of God. He was faithful to stand and speak the truth even when it wasn't received. Even when he was mocked and ridiculed, he stood and preached the Word of God. Jesus, yes, he came to be our Savior, but he's also our example. He is also to be our example. And you know, there's nothing worse than this. To hear a Christian say, I used to. I used to do this. I used to do that. Nothing worse than hearing that. I used to do that. So I say, what's changed? What's changed? The only thing changed is you made a choice not to. You made a choice to be a used to. You made a choice to quit serving God. Just like before, you made a choice to serve God. You made a choice to quit serving God. That's all it is. I mean, if you read the Bible, Moses never retired. Did Moses retire? No. Paul never quit until the day the Lord took him home to heaven. Elijah the same way. He was busy doing the Lord's work on the very same day the Lord took him up. If you're not serving the Lord faithfully today, it's because you choose not to, and that's it. We all make choices. It's not because of some limitation, because there's always something you can do. There's always something you can do. Age is no excuse. I hate to burst the bubble, but age is no excuse. Moses was 120. Nobody in here is 120. We have some people who helped start this church. They're getting up there in age, yes. But Moses was 120 years old, still wandering around in the desert when God took him home. So my point is this. This is for everybody. If you're still breathing, check your pulse. If you're still breathing, God has something for you to do. Amen? God didn't give up on you. He has something He wants you to do. He has something for you to do, but you got to make a choice to do it. Don't just sit there in the pew. You know, it's kind of like those same people who are not faithful to church. Right? Those same people who are not faithful to church are the same people who are faithful to go on vacation. When vacation comes, nothing's stopping them from going on vacation, is it? Whew, gone on vacation. But that same person comes Sunday, I'm sick, can't go to church. And you know what's miraculous about that? Monday morning, they had a miraculous healing. All of a sudden, Monday morning, work comes around and I'm all in it. It's a miraculous thing. I mean, we should probably think about writing a book on it or something. It's just miraculous. My point is this. A lost person is not going to be convicted when they miss church. Are you convicted when you're missing church, when you're not in church and you just blatantly miss the services? Are you convicted at all? Because a lost person won't be convicted. A person that's been born again and has the Holy Spirit of God in you will convict you if you're missing church, if you're not here. Hey, so why not just be faithful?
Why not just be faithful? Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Hey, just keep going. Just keep serving the Lord. Don't quit. Be faithful to Him. Acts 2:41 says, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized." They got saved. They got baptized. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They got saved. They got baptized. They joined the church. And on verse 42, "And they continued steadfastly." Steadfastly, folks. It doesn't mean have a seat. It means get up and get busy. There's lost people dying right in front of you. They may even be in your house. Lost people going to die and go to hell in your house, next door to you, at your work. What are you doing about it? What are we doing about it? It's time we got busy and just being faithful to the Lord. He never changes. He never fails. He never forgets. He never forsakes us. So let me ask you, are you faithful? Are you faithful? That's all He wants. He says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Luke 16:10 says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." I want you to write this one down as well. Revelation 2:10, it says, "Be thou faithful unto death." Be thou faithful unto death. That is the command. Be faithful until the Lord takes you home. That's a sorry testimony you give to people around you, and a sorry testimony to your family, to your kids, and to everybody who has anything to deal with you when you're unfaithful to the things of God. If salvation is the issue, get saved. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ today. He'll save you today. He'll give you eternal life today. And you know what else? He'll put the Holy Spirit of God in you today, the very moment, and you'll change. I guarantee you change. When I was lost, I didn't want to go to church. But when I did, you know, most of the time it was just because it seemed like the thing to do. But I never had conviction of missing church when we went fishing, when we went camping, and we went and played ball. Right? But when I got saved, I knew I was to be in the house of the Lord. No sickness was going to keep me out. Nothing was going to come up. No camping trips, no fishing trips, no sports was going to keep us out of the house of God. You see, what's different? The Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. The truth of God's Word. Not my words, but the truth of God's Word, convicting a sinner to be faithful. Jesus was faithful. What if He would have quit on us before He died on that cross? He was faithful up until the end. If He was faithful, should we not be faithful? Should we not be faithful? Be thou faithful unto death. Let's pray.